ज्ञानाज्ञान्धिमिरन्धस्य
ज्ञानाञ्जनाच्छलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टां स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कथामायां तदातिष्वापतन्तिकां वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगना रघुनाथान्वितां तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनाबन्धु जगत्पते कोपेशा गोपिका कान्ता राधाकान्ता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचना गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे नमः ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमती भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनीति नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवारी वश्चतिशतारिणे नमः ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले Srimati Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati iti nama. The writing of Krishna conscious literature and its distribution is a very essential foundation of our Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. Srila Prabhupada explained that there are 9 processes of devotional service. Book distribution is categorized as Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting. Transcendental sound is the means by which the Lord's love and compassion descends from the spiritual sky to deliver the conditioned souls in this world. In the very beginning of the universal creation, Krishna instructed Brahma. He spoke to him transcendental knowledge. From the words that Brahma heard from the Supreme Lord, he repeated that message with his 4 mouths, and that became the Vedas. He instructed his son, Sri Narada Muni. Narada Muni, in turn, gave this same exact transcendental knowledge to many of the greatest spiritual personalities throughout history, such as the Prachetas, Prahlad, Dhruva, Valmiki. Previous to the age of Kali, there was no need of books. Simply by speaking, one could impregnate another person's heart with all knowledge. And people's memories were so strong that whatever they would hear, they would remember throughout their entire lives. The words of the scriptures through sound would be printed on the pages of one's heart forever. So this was the way preaching was done in the Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, through hearing and chanting. However, seeing how the age of Kali would deteriorate the memory of human society due to unnatural lifestyles, due to a great increase in the lower modes of nature influencing human beings, the Supreme Lord Himself considered it essential that the same exact knowledge be put in writing for preservation. And how wonderful it is that the Lord Himself descended to perform this service as Srila Vyasadeva. He compiled the Vedic literatures and its supplements, the four Vedas, the Itihastas, or great spiritual histories, the Mahabharata, the Vedanta Sutra, Upanishads, the Puranas. There is the 18 main Puranas, plus there are many other supplementary Puranas. And ultimately, his final contribution of literature was the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the cream, the sum and substance of all knowledge. This was at the dawn of the age of Kali that these literatures were given to man. And from that time, these literatures have been the basis of spiritual authority. If one's speaking is not established as being authorized by the Shastras, then no real spiritual person will accept them. People have so many ideas, speculations, opinions, which is based on perceptions coming through their imperfect senses and spoken through their imperfect senses. Therefore, imperfect, not suitable to give us real knowledge that could enlighten our hearts. But the scriptures are spoken by God Himself, written by God Himself. Krishna tells us in Gita, Vedanta krit veda vedeva chaham vedaischa sarver aham eva vedyo, that I am the compiler of the Vedanta. I am the knower of the Vedas. By all the Vedas I am to be known. So when we quote Shastra, we are quoting the word of God. Within the Mahabharata is the 18th chapters of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita translates as the song of God. Krishna personally spoke these words, and they were written by Srila Vyasadeva. Why does Krishna speak? He describes that in Gita himself. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanaradaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Whatever he does in this world, it is for this purpose. To reestablish the true principles of religion, he spoke the Gita. To annihilate the miscreants and the miscreant mentality within people's hearts. and to protect, encourage, inspire, and attract the hearts of his devotees. So we find the great acharyas, whatever they speak is based on the authority of Shastra. And Krishna explains in Gita, evam parampara praptam idam rajashayabhidhu. This means even Shastra can be misinterpreted. Even when we hear from the Shastras with our imperfect senses and whatever ulterior motives within our hearts, we can misconstrue what the real meaning is and even cheat others. As one of my sannyasi godbrothers used to say when he was preaching throughout South India, there are many slokas for different folks. You can take any slokas and you can use them for your own purpose. Srila Prabhupada explained how Bhagavad Gita, the same slokas, hundreds of translations and commentaries giving very, very different meanings. So the scriptures alone, although they are the basis of the authority of truth and knowledge, and without them, we will never know what is real truth and knowledge. They cannot stand themselves and perform their purpose without the parampara. Without that great chain of disciplic succession that preserves and encourages the original meaning of the Vedic literatures. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself, appearing as the Yuga Avatar, to give one and all the opportunity to perfect their lives in this very life, making no discrimination who was fit or who was unfit, just giving the jewel of Prema Bhakti to everyone. He wrote Shikshastakam, which really contains within essence forms all knowledge required to attain the ultimate perfection of life. But he particularly empowered Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, and their associates, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, and Srila Jiva Goswami, to write transcendental literatures. Because his Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya was meant to be the authorized process for all people throughout the entire age of Kali to perfect their lives through hearing, through chanting the glories of the Lord, through serving the devotees of the Lord with the proper conceptions. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Prayag, which Lord Ramchandra called Prayagraj, the king of all holy places, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat for 10 days at the Dashashwamedha Ghat. The painting of Haridas Thakur is behind us. This painting behind the speaker on this asana is very, very symbolic. Because whoever is speaking here is meant to be representing Srila Rupa Goswami. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to Rupa Goswami, and whatever message was received by him was put in transcendental literatures. Lord Chaitanya said, you go to Vrindavan and you write books exclusively based on the Vedic scriptures. Extract the essence from the Vedic scriptures and present it to the world. These literatures are the very foundation of our sampradaya. We see the great acharyas previous to them, Ramanujacharya. Actually, Ramanujacharya, his guru, Achyuta Preksha, was very much influenced by the Vedantic school of Advaita. And when Madhvacharya was very much eager to give him enlightenment into the path of pure bhakti. But his guru said, unless you have a commentary, a Vedanta Sutra, to prove your points, cannot be accepted. So Madhvacharya went all the way to Badrikashram to meet Vedavyas himself. And he heard from him and was empowered by him to write his Purna Pragya Bhasya. And when he brought this literature down and showed it to his sannyas guru surrendered and became a great Vaishnava. And on this basis of this commentary that he had wrote, he established the Dvaita Vedanta philosophy throughout all of India. And similarly, Ramanujacharya, he considered it, in order to establish the authority of his Vishishta Dvaita Siddhanta, it was necessary that he wrote literature. So he wrote Sribhasya and other great commentaries of the Vedas. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted Rupa Goswami, along with his associates, to establish the very, very foundation of his sampradaya based on the teachings of the previous acharyas in parampara and the original speaker, Krishna's words. So Rupa Goswami came to Vrindavan and he wrote so many wonderful books, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Upadeshamrita, and many books of very high realizations and understandings of Krishna in Vrindavan. Sanatan Goswami wrote the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is his commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam, which Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas consider so very important for proper understanding of this scripture. And Jiva Goswami wrote his Sandarbhas, Satsandarbhas, and other literatures to really establish the basic framework of the script of our teachings. And we find throughout these literatures they are constantly citing evidence of the Vedas, the Upanishads, the Puranas, and especially Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. And these literatures have been the very basis, as Prabhupada would say, of our sampradaya. It gives the great literatures of the acharyas, they reveal to us the truth in a contemporary term by which people of the time, place, and circumstance can easily understand it. Also dealing with eliminating the present misconceptions of the particular time that is attacking the school of pure bhakti. Baladev Vidyabhushan, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, what immense contributions they made amongst the Vaishnava literatures. But with age of Kali proceeding, there were some serious problems. We know that Jiva Goswami sent Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Shamananda on the first party to distribute profusely, widely to the public the literatures written by the six Goswamis and Krishnadas Kaviraj. But as time passed, people in the name of Vaishnavism was no longer concerned with the conclusions of the scriptures, but with their in their own sentimental, emotional ideas. And that brought in the idea of Sahajyaism, Prakriti Sahajyas. Srila Prabhupada used the nice phrase that for those who weep apparent tears of ecstasy without really understanding, according to proper authorities, then their tears simply wash away all the Vedic conclusions. And with the crippling of Vaishnavism due to the Sahajyism, the Mayavad misconceptions became very, very prominent. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it was one of his key missions in life to publish and distribute transcendental literature widely and have great personalities who's living by those scriptures to train the common man in the principles of devotional service. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, very deeply imbibed within his heart the spirit of his father. His father established many printing presses, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he expanded that. He called the printing press the Big Mridanga, that the Harinam Kirtan in the streets with the Mridanga can be heard by the people in that local area. But the printing press is such a Mridanga that it can beat so loudly that throughout the entire land, through all countries in the world, they can hear the glorification of the Lord. Kirtan is not only chanting the names of the Lord, but is also propounding the glories of the Lord and the message of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada, our beloved Guru Maharaj, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, he was deeply influenced by the will of his spiritual master. Many times in his letters and in his discussions, he would remember how at Sri Radha Kund, the holiest of all holy places in the universe, the place of Radha and Krishna's most intimate, elevated, transcendent lila, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur told Srila Prabhupada that we have a big, beautiful marble temple in Calcutta, but I see that leaders are fighting over which room has control, that they could have control of. He said, I think it will be better to take the marble off the temples and use that money to publish and distribute books. He said, more important than building big temples is the distribution of books. Then he looked at Srila Prabhupada right on the banks of Radha Kund and said, if you ever get money, publish and distribute books. Srila Prabhupada took that as his life and soul. Therefore, in preparation for his mission, back in the as early as the 1940s, he began his Back to Godhead magazine. He was writing the articles, he was collecting, he was editing, he was publishing, taking responsibility for the printing, And he was the only distributor. But after some time, in the late 50s, he decided that he would translate and write commentaries based on the previous acharyas of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. And he spent years and years at Bamsi Gopal Temple and Sri Sri Radha Damodar Temple writing Srimad Bhagavatam. His constant meditation was that after these books are written, he will take them to the Western world and he will distribute them. And that will be how he makes the world Krishna conscious. Actually, when Srila Prabhupada got aboard the Jaladuta, came to the West, what did he have? He just had one little bag with his clothes and some grains to eat. And he had big, big boxes of books. That was his baggage, simply books. And how, for a man 70 years old, to be bringing crates and crates of books across the ocean, then he had to bring them to Butler, Pennsylvania, and bring them to New York. All these books, but they were the treasures of his life. They were the foundation of his guru's mission. It was the order of his spiritual master. Just a few days ago, we were at Krishna Chandra Prabhu's house. And amazing, the family didn't even know they had these books. Krishna Chandra Prabhu was telling Shyam Sundar Prabhu and myself that one day they were watching the Abhay Charan video by His Holiness Srila Bhakti Charu Maharaj, and Prabhupada was distributing to someone the first volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam that he printed in Delhi and wrote in Vrindavan. Those are the original books he brought to America. And they actually had one of the original books in the series that Prabhupada was using to distribute. And they saw the cover of the book and they looked over the television and the same books were in their library. That they haven't really taken the books from those libraries in years. They say, isn't that the same? There were three volumes. The three volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam. And they saw in Prabhupada's Jaladutta diary that in May of 1966, Srila Prabhupada wrote, "Meet Mufatlal." He came to their house and sold Aravind Mufatlal these books. Told him about Krishna, told him about his mission, sold him these books. He sold the captain, Pandey, of the Jaladutta, sold him books. Sold as many crew members as he could books. He sold the books to the Agarwal family in Butler, Pennsylvania. When he was asked to give lecture by Professor Larson and Professor Sharma in Slippery Rock State College, he sold them his books. When he went to New York City, he was very eager to distribute these books. Brahmananda Prabhu, he tells us the story that he was working as a teacher. And he gave Srila Prabhupada his entire month's salary. And then afterward, Srila Prabhupada showed him his Bhagavatams. He said, "Would you like these?" Brahmananda said, "Yes, yes, yes." Brahmananda took them and Prabhupada said, "But you have to pay for them." So he had to get a loan and pay Prabhupada more for them. So Srila Prabhupada, but he was happy to do, he was in ecstasy to help Srila Prabhupada in his mission by taking books. When Hayagriva Prabhu first started coming to 26 Second Avenue, his first service, he was one of the first people to really come and actually help Prabhupada. Prabhupada was told that he was an English teacher. He said, would you like to help edit some of my writings? Hayagriva thought maybe he would get a few pages, some newsletter or message. Prabhupada had already been in America for almost a year at this time, and he was constantly writing, typing. So he had truckloads of manuscripts. He said, you can start with these. That was his service, to help Srila Prabhupada edit and publish his books. Bhagavad Gita, when the Macmillan Company accepted Bhagavad Gita to publish, Prabhupada was so very happy. And he wanted his devotees to somehow or other try to distribute these books. But devotees didn't know how to do this. It was very, how do you distribute books? They had no realizations. But Prabhupada's desire was so strong that they just tried in various ways. One example is in San Francisco. Devotees went to buy petrol for their car, and they had no money. Now, if you don't pay for your petrol in America, you'd be put in prison. But they had some books. So they told the gas station attendant, petrol attendant, that please take this book and let the petrol be the payment. And the person said, yes, yes, very good. They told him all about the book. So this became profound. We can actually distribute these. People actually want these books. It began to develop and expand, and Srila Prabhupada's desire was so strong. And soon, by Prabhupada's desire and his young American disciples' enthusiasm to please him, they were distributing thousands of books a day in the streets of America. Srila Prabhupada's letters, his lectures, his discussions were so frequently encouraging and inspiring the devotees to take up this book distribution. At that time, the main service was Harinam Sankirtan at one time and giving some 3-minute lecture during the kirtan. Prabhupada said, what will your 3-minute lecture do? They will hear and forget. But if they take these books, if they read one book, then it will have everlasting effect within their heart. If anyone reads any of these Krishna conscious literatures, it will transform their lives. Prabhupada used the example of the Communist Party. He said not a single Russian came to India. They just sent their literatures. And in 9 languages, they were distributing these literatures profusely. And in this way, they gained tremendous ground to convert millions and millions of people to this political conception. That's how they promoted communism in Russia. That's how communism was promoted in China. Simply by mass distribution. Prabhupada said, just like in warfare, the Air Force drops just bomb after bomb. They're just dropping bomb after bomb after bomb at their targets. He said, similarly, we have to drop these bombs of books everywhere. It is the most powerful means of defeating the illusory energy, which is keeping people entangled, suffering, birth after birth after birth. When Srila Prabhupada would see his devotees distributing books sincerely, he was so happy. He was so grateful. He would tell us often that his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, If a brahmachari would distribute one or two or three books an entire day, even if he wasn't a leading brahmachari, he was just a very simple, you know, rank and file devotee, his Guru Maharaj would be so very pleased and grateful that he made the effort to distribute literatures. That was Srila Prabhupada's mood. In one letter, Srila Prabhupada explained that my Guru Maharaj wanted me to distribute books. He said, "I am following this instruction blindly because I know it's his desire." What the result will be, he said, I do not know, but I know it is my Guru Maharaj's desire, and therefore this is the basis of my mission. But what the result was, phenomenal. Srila Prabhupada would personally tell his book distributors that you, because you are distributing these literatures, you are receiving the greatest blessings of my Guru Maharaj. He would often say that our main business is distributing these literatures. And then during Srila Prabhupada's last days, he would explain to his devotees that his greatest inspiration that was giving him life was hearing how the devotees were so fearlessly, with such enthusiasm and determination, going into the public to distribute his books. Srila Prabhupada said, books are the basis of our preaching. Because when we give someone Srila Prabhupada's books, we are giving someone Srila Prabhupada directly, personally, and intimately. Every purport of Srila Prabhupada is him personally speaking to the soul who's reading. Prabhupada instructed that you must read my books and you must distribute my books. And you must follow what is in the books. He said there is no impediment to the Krishna consciousness movement saving millions of people's lives and spreading all over the world if two things are accomplished: that the devotees remain spiritually strong and united, and they're enthusiastic to distribute these books. We often say that, quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that the great Vaishnavas live in sound. So Srila Prabhupada is living in his books. He's preaching through his books. And it was his life and soul to preach. So a book distributor was one who is simply a very humble, surrendered instrument in Srila Prabhupada's hands, to give Srila Prabhupada's personal association and his message as medicine to people who are diseased in this burning existence of Kali Yuga. As Srila Prabhupada's aspiring follower, Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasado, my relation to Krishna is simply to whatever extent I can try to please Srila Prabhupada by making him happy. And also it is very much known that to the extent that Prabhupada and the previous acharyas bless all of you, to that extent you will find the bliss of Krishna consciousness in your life and you can share that with others. So when I see devotees cooperatively working together to be instruments of Lord Chaitanya, Guru and Gauranga's compassion. This brings unlimited joy to our heart. I'm especially grateful to all of you who have put so much energy and time of your lives, to whatever extent, in this glorious service of book distribution. Srila Prabhupada, he would make as many orders as books as he had money to do. And he would fill up warehouses. And it was his dream that the warehouses should be emptied immediately. He didn't like stocks and storage. Fill up the warehouses with as many books as we can afford to print, but they should not remain there at all. They should immediately be distributed. And when he saw this happening, how blissful he would become, and how much he would just pour his pleasing blessings upon his devotees. Bombay is his office, a place he loved so dearly, a place he considered one of the most important parts of the world, the state of Maharashtra, the land of India. Is very, very, Prabhupada said, if the people of India become Krishna conscious, it will have a major impact on the whole world. So we should consider it his mercy that we have the good fortune to assist him in his main service to his Guru Maharaj, to transform people's hearts. And distributing of literatures is an essential aspect of that mission. So I am extremely grateful to all of you. My purpose of speaking tonight is to think simply to thank you from the very inner recess of my heart for helping in pleasing our beloved Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada, for helping to continue this great parampara of Lord Chaitanya, and for so kindly showing the greatest extent of compassion to the suffering souls by giving them Krishna. Special thanks to the organizers of the book distribution and to every one of you who have assisted in any way. Krishna will never forget your service. And it is my prayer that I will always remain sincerely the servant of those who help in Srila Prabhupada's great mission of spiritual compassion.